On May Day 2015, the workers of the book publishing business in this country face an uncertain future. Of one thing only can they be sure, that just like so many Mayflowers, Book Expo America will soon open its colorful show in New York City. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Running from May 27th through May 29, the trade book show elements are only a part of what BEA has become in the digital age. The newly expanded BookCon takes over on the weekend, though the trade exhibit floor will remain open for any publishers and exhibitors who want direct access to consumers. And joining me now from his office in New York City is Andrew Albany, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, who joins me every week on Fridays. Andrew, welcome back to Beyond the Book.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, Andrew, it's that time of year again. We've got 2015 Book Expo America nearly upon us, and in Monday's issue, Publishers Weekly will have a complete preview. Tell us more.
That's right. Book Expo America is literally just weeks away, set once again for New York's Javits Center. And in Monday's issue, we will do, as we do each year, a rundown of the show's our favorite events, including the various buzz panels and hundreds of autographing sessions, some marquee author breakfasts, and some of the new elements and changes that are designed to better serve the industry at this year's show. And you can check the whole thing out on PW's website, of course, and in Monday's issue. But we should probably start by mentioning a couple of the biggest, most prominent changes. And first among those is a schedule change and a starting time change. The conference is going to kick off midweek this year with the BEA conference program beginning at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, May 27th. But the show floor actually isn't going to open until 1 p.m. and it's going to close at 5:30 that day. BEA Director Steve Rosato said the decision to shift the show floor hours was a response to what exhibitors and attendees had said they needed to make the event more compact, was their word, without diminishing the effectiveness and the opportunities that they have at BEA. In prior years, the conference programming always started the day before the exhibit hall opened, and that actually forced an extra day of travel for many of those attending BEA. So they've sort of streamlined that for this year. The exhibit floor is going to be open full-time from 9 a.m. to 5:30 on Thursday, May 28th, and the following Friday, also from 9 to 5 the following day. And the other noteworthy change is the separation of BookCon. That's the consumer-focused book fair from BEA's business-to-business approach. The newly expanded BookCon will be held on Saturday and Sunday on most of the same exhibit floor for publishers and exhibitors who wanted direct access to consumers, but now the event will not interfere with the B2B element of BEA. So make sure you check out Monday's issue for lots of features, including the popular Galley to Grab article, and that's a look at all the great advanced copies that are going to be available at the show, and of course you can check it out on the web as well.
All right, well, indeed. Well, you know, it's good to know, Andrew, if you've attended the Book Expo in past years, a more compact BEA certainly sounds something to be wished for, but still, this is the book industry, this is the Javits Center, things are going to be pretty big all the same, so give us some of the highlights that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of interesting panels on the conference program this year, and it's definitely been an interesting year in publishing, so I assume we'll have a lot to talk about. The professional program is going to run from May 27th to May 29th. There's going to be panels throughout each day. And I have to say, I'm looking forward to the IDPF Digital Book Conference program, which begins that Wednesday morning, the 27th, and ends the following Thursday afternoon. And I'm actually set to join a panel on Amazon on the opening day of that conference. It's at around 3 p.m. It's an afternoon conference, I think, right now. And that discussion will be on whether Amazon is good for the reader. So sure to be plenty of interesting perspectives on that panel. The American Bookseller Association and our friend Oren Teicher will have a great slate of programs and panels too over the course of the three-day event. So you can look for those ABA branded programs. They're going to be excellent as well. And just before the exhibit floor opens on Wednesday, BEA will be hosting on-site a conversation with Jonathan Franzen. The critically acclaimed novelist is going to be interviewed by Salon's Laura Miller on 12:30, I believe. He'll be discussing his new book, Purity, but I am hoping that he will be as frank as he has been known to be in the past and will give all of us covering the show something to write about. I'm also really looking forward to the library part of the BEA program this year. You know, as you well know, know, librarians are actually a big part of BEA. And, you know, to continue my shameless self-promotion here, I'm going to be on a panel on Friday, May 29th, on how libraries have become an increasingly vital retail and marketing partner for publishers. And that builds on some of the themes that we discussed at a panel discussion we had here this week on Tuesday called The Case for Libraries. And you can read all about that on the PW website right now. I have a piece up there about the discussion that took place on Tuesday. But I'll just note an interesting insight that moderator David Vinja-Murray, who of course is a marketing consultant and a Forbes columnist, offered on libraries. He said that libraries might not be publishers' biggest customer, but they might be the most important. He called libraries a keystone species in the reading ecosystem because their work is what our reading culture is built upon. Imagine, he said, if that were no longer true. And I think that's a really great insight. I think in an age when the competition for consumer attention is really heated, I think it's a realization that publishers are quickly arriving at, that libraries offer them a great opportunity to market their books, especially the backlist. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how librarians are treated at this year's BEA conference. And I think library publisher relations are actually on a bit of an upswing compared to past years when they were wrangling over ebooks. So, you know, last plug, I promise. This year, PW is also sponsoring the Librarian Lounge at BEA. And that's where librarians can come and take a load off and have some food or drink and relax, enjoy some programming, read a galley. So librarians, you know, there is definitely one place you'll feel the love at BEA, and that's in the Librarian Lounge, which PW will be a part of this year. And, you know, before we pivot off BEA, I'm interested in knowing if there's anything that you're looking forward to at this year's BEA, Chris. And if so, maybe you could share them here.
Well, sure. Well, I think one of the things that I'm certainly looking forward to partaking of is the Global Market Forum this year. It's going to be much expanded. In the past, a Book Expo always did an attempt to shine a light in a particular corner of the world. But this year, working with the Chinese publishers, they've expanded that single day of programming to multiple days. And they've got a long list of many of the top publishing figures in China, and bringing in people from U.S. publishing to sort of offer their own perspective of working with the Chinese. So I think what we're going to see here is increasingly a global perspective at Book Expo, and I think that's very exciting. And the other part of the show to mention, you mentioned BookCon on Saturday. That will also coincide, but not overlap with, the annual presentations around independent publishing and self-publishing called You Publish You. And I'll be moderating the keynote panel that will start things off on Saturday morning. And we've got Robert Gottlieb from Tribe Media joining us, Angela Bowl from the Independent Book Publishers Association, Michael Kozlowski from Goody Readers, and perhaps some other guests as well will join us. We can get them involved. So we are looking forward to that. And I think it really does show the way that the book world isn't just about the trade book world anymore, Andrew. We've got international publishers, independent publishers. It's a really comprehensive look there at BEA.
Agreed. And I'm glad that you brought up You Publish You. There's a nice feature on that in Monday's issue as well. So, you know, great call there. That's actually going to be, I think, a really fascinating part of this year's event, for sure.
Indeed. But you've been speaking about your love of libraries and PW getting involved in that love affair. And libraries got some love from none other than President Barack Obama this week, who announced a program from a library in Washington, D.C., to put ebooks in the hands of kids. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a huge win for libraries and for reading. I mean, it's always important when you have the President of the United States weighing in here. So I think it's pretty exciting, especially that he was talking about not just books and reading, but about ebooks. So what he announced was more or less a two-part initiative, and one part involves a group of major American publishers, in fact, all of the majors, donating more than $250 million worth of ebooks for use by low-income students. And the second part is a drive to make sure that every kid has a library card. You know, you can read our report on this on the PW site right now, and we're going to be following up on it in coming weeks, especially the weeks leading up to the ALA annual conference in San Francisco. You know, and on a personal note, I do have some questions about what the uptake of ebooks is going to be amongst a lot of these kids who still need devices to access them. And a big part of it is going to be getting better, you know, broadband and internet availability. Nevertheless, this is a big step forward to have the President of the United States do an event and talk about ebooks. You know, in any capacity, it's a big deal, but I think this is especially cool. At the very least, it suggests that the White House is paying attention, which is important. And I also, you know, I watched the press conference today, and I was really struck by a very candid admission from the president that he's into fantasy books. He actually confessed to liking Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. So I just can't wait to see what Ted Cruz does with that information. I'm sure there's going to be some Middle Earth jokes coming out.
That's right. Well, you know, Andrew, I have to say that when you hear that the president is a great reader, that doesn't surprise me. Of course, he has to read a lot of information, but he's also a reasonably well-respected writer, and you don't get to be a good writer without reading a lot.
Absolutely right. You know, he had mentioned his love of the Hardy Boys here, too, which I thought was really funny. He really grew up sort of reading Hardy Boys, he said. And you could see the look on the kids' faces. They were just like, huh?
Empty. Well, I'm sure they have their own Hardy Boys. Perhaps it's Harry Potter for them. But anyway, Andrew Albanese, senior writer with Publishers Weekly, thanks for joining us, as always, here on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For everyone at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.